Christmas is still a few weeks away. There's time to stop, take a deep breath, and get it right this year. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is just about the time that things get a little frenzied during the holiday season, and we lose track of what's really important. Crystal Payne is here today to help set us straight. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Crystal Payne back on the program. She's the creator of the amazing website MoneySavingMom.com, which you should only check out if you like saving money and simplifying your life. Crystal, great to have you back with us.
It's such an honor to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Well, we're delighted, and we're going to get into a lot of the practical steps folks can take to keep costs down at Christmas. But first, tell us maybe a few of the things your family does to savor the meaning of Christmas.
Yes, well, there's a lot of different things that we do. We really try to keep it simple, and we'll talk more about that as we get into this interview. But two things that we do. One, we like to have an advent calendar. So this is just usually, we do different things, but we've loved, Ann Voskamp has an advent calendar book that actually yes. has this, the little ornaments and the tree that opens up on the book, and there's just a devotional for every day. It's really short and easy, and it's great because all ages can get involved, and it's just a good way to start your day or end your day, just reminding yourself of, you know, what Christmas is really all about. So that's one thing that we do. And then also, we like to have a giving project that we decide as a family, this is something that we're all going to give money towards, and kind of, we sort of raise money per se all through December, and then kind of see how much we've raised and be able to give that at the end of the month. And it just helps, again, to remind us of the reason for Christmas.
Yeah. And did you say the kids actually choose the project each year?
Yes, they do. They like to choose different things. And then I think that that really gives them ownership. Like, they've chosen it. And so then they will, in fact, they have, you know, created little boxes and been like, put your donations here and, you know, put yes. your change here. And it just helps them to have some buy-in for it.
Oh, that's so good. Well, those are great suggestions. Now, let's go over some of the things, Crystal, that most folks feel they have to do at Christmas. So where do we start?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is to really start with, you know, thinking, who do you need to buy for? And I really don't like the word need, because honestly, especially yeah. in, you know, none of us really need to buy anything for anyone. But who do we feel sure. like, you know, we should buy for? And then who do we want to buy for? And then really thinking about, how much of a budget do we have? And when we yeah. look at that list of who we need to buy for, who we want to buy for, and how much budget we have, do we need to pare back? Do we need to simplify? Or maybe we're going to give family gifts this year instead of giving individual gifts to every member of a certain family, or we're going to give experience gifts. Mm. And that's going to be something that's going to help us to stay within our budget.
Yeah. And I know you're helping with that with a guide you have on your website, right?
Yes. So we put together some of just our very favorite gift ideas. These are things that could be really anybody. You know, there's you always have those people that you're like, I don't know, it feels like they have everything, but I want to do something for them. So sure. these are gifts that you could give to anyone. Some of them are things that can be made really inexpensively and really quickly. Like, maybe you don't have a lot of time, you can't do this elaborate project, but some of them are food items. Some of them are just cute little things like DIY Sharpie marker mugs, or movie night in a box, or pedicure in a jar, just some fun things that could, people would, you know, find that they're unique and would be something that would bless someone else, but also anybody pretty much could benefit from something in this gift guide that we put together. And that's for free on moneysavingmom.com.
Check it out today. All right. Now, you mentioned budget a few moments ago. What is the best way to keep spending in check, Crystal?
Well, there are a couple things that I recommend. Now, we're already into December, and so, you know, hindsight is 2020. Right. You can't start this now, but thinking ahead for next year, really ideally saving up for Christmas all year long. So setting yeah. aside money each month. I like to also encourage people, there are lots of ways that you can earn gift cards. We talk about this on moneysavingmom.com, but that you can then set those aside as you're earning gift cards for maybe scanning your receipts or taking surveys. And then at the end of the year, use those gift cards that you've accumulated to be able to buy things for Christmas.
Oh, that's so good. We're talking to Crystal Payne today. You'll find all of her great work to help you save money and simplify your life at moneysavingmom.com. You can also download this free Christmas resource that will help you plan for and execute a wonderful Christ-filled Christmas. Now, when we come back, she's going to help us stretch your Christmas budget and be more intentional just around the corner.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Imagine living in the time of Mary and Joseph. It had been 450 years since the Lord last spoke to his people. At that point, you were used to it, but you began to think to yourself, has God forgotten me? Will his promise to bless the nations come true? Take heart, God hasn't forgotten his people. His promise has indeed come true. It's come true in the coming of his son, Jesus. That's why Mary said these amazing words in Luke 1. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is what we celebrate on Christmas Day. Christ coming in the flesh to fulfill the promise made to Abraham long before. Grow in your walk with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our guest today is Crystal Payne. She's the creator of the amazing website, moneysavingmom.com. We're talking about how you can have an intentional Christ-filled Christmas this year. And Crystal's got some great ideas. Just before the break, we were talking about how you can keep spending in track. What about stretching that Christmas budget, Crystal? What ideas do you have for us?
So first off, I would really recommend, you know, you got to have a budget. And then also, if you want to stick with your budget, one of the best things that you can do is stick with cash only. Now, a lot of people, they really balk when I say this, and especially because you're like, well, there's such great deals online. And yes, I absolutely agree with you. MoneySavingMom.com, we share lots and lots of great online deals. But you can actually stick with a Christmas budget when shopping online by buying a prepaid gift card or Amazon gift card or store gift cards. That way, it helps you that you don't go over budget. And so, yes, it's an extra hassle, but I promise that you will be glad that you've stuck with your budget come January. And so really starting with a budget, sticking with cash, and then what are some ways that you could maybe, you know, you don't have a big budget this year. So some simple, inexpensive homemade gift ideas. I love homemade gift ideas, and I think most people do. And it also is something, you know, you put your time and effort into it. It's unique. It's different. Things like homemade treats and baked goods, cookie dough for the freezer, homemade breads or granola, baking mixes in jars, or homemade experience gifts like a treat every month. You could give them a calendar that it's like every month on this day, I'm going to make you a treat if it's someone who lives locally, or you're going to make them dinner, or you're going to provide some laundry help or babysitting, you know, giving gifts of your time. That is something that's really valuable and can be really meaningful. Or things like photo gifts or a meaningful letter, or putting together a collection of recipes or journal entries from a loved one. I just feel like sometimes we always think it has to be something we buy at the store, but making something for someone, giving gifts of our time, these can be the things that someone's going to remember for years and years to come.
Yeah, it really sends a message around how important that person is to you when you take the time to create something or give a thoughtful gift. All right, what about cooking? I mean, this comes up at Christmas time. There's so many meals and we want to celebrate, but it's time consuming. So what ideas do you have for us?
So I really think about, what can I make ahead of time to make hosting more enjoyable if I'm going to be hosting, or just that I want to do some fun things with my kids and I want, you know, us to be able to bake cookies together or to be able to decorate cookies. What can I do ahead of time so that we can have those memories, but it's not going to take a lot of effort? And so maybe on a weekend sometime, you know, in this next weekend, you could just sit down and make a little list and then do the grocery shopping and take a few hours to make some things ahead, like cookie dough or rolls, sweetbreads, desserts. Look at your holiday menu and things you want to make or hope to make, and then plan some time to freezer cook ahead, because that is going to save you so much time. And also thinking about, what shortcuts could you use? Could you buy pre-made cookie dough or bread dough? Sometimes I found that it's the same price if you add up the cost of the ingredients, and it'll save you a lot of time.
Those are so helpful and practical. Now, of course, we want to spend a lot of time together as a family during the Christmas season. We're looking forward to this Christmas in particular because my oldest son went off to college this year, so we're going to have him back home. All six of us are going to be together again. So how do you encourage family togetherness during the Christmas season?
So something that we have done for years is we call it our December bucket list. And we have everyone pick out one to two special things that they want to do during the month of December. And I find that as a mom, this relieves so much from me, because I feel like moms, sometimes we feel like we have to be the purveyor of entertainment and memories for our children. And sometimes the things that we think that they would really like and want to do and be all excited about, that's not what they pick. And so letting everybody pick one to two things, it means that December is not just packed full of all the things. It allows us to really focus on those few things that are important to each member of our family, and it simplifies it for us and makes sure that we prioritize those things that they really want to do. And maybe you're like, oh, nobody chose the, you know, going to see the Nutcracker. Okay, I guess that's not an important thing, you know. And so we sit down, we make that December bucket list, and then we just put it on the calendar and make sure to prioritize those things. And so another thing that we've done is, especially if you have younger kids, this is a fun thing, wrapping up Christmas books and then every day getting to unwrap one and read it together. And Christmas books that you already own, you can even get them from the library. I've done that before. And just wrap them up, and it makes it like it's this fun thing and you do it together. And my kids, my older kids have just loved that and remembering that. And I'm excited to do it with our younger kids now. And then another thing that we've done is we set aside, so we always go back to Kansas, where our family is from. We live in Tennessee, but we have an all-day Christmas celebration that we do just with our kids before we leave to go to Kansas. And so it'll be on a day that's sometimes a week before Christmas, but we just set this aside, and it's been really, really special. And all of the kids get to kind of help plan parts of it, prioritizing what's important to them. And it's just a special day that we get to just savor Christmas just with our immediate family. And then we can go enjoy it with grandparents as well, and not feeling like we have to, you know, try to fit everything in right on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Yes. Oh, those are great suggestions, Crystal. All right. Well, one of the things I appreciate so much about MoneySavingMom.com is that you help families and moms in particular stay organized. So what are some last tips for staying organized during the holidays?
I am a huge believer in asking yourself the question, how can I make this easier? And just, you know, really thinking as we go through things, sometimes I think we overcomplicate things. So how can I make things easier? And then write everything down. In my book, The Time Saving Mom, I talk about how I use Google Calendar and a time block to-do list. And there is just something about writing all the things down. I like to brain dump everything that's in my head. I actually put it as all day task in Google Calendar. And so then it's not just swimming around in my head and I have, you know, what feels like a thousand things up there in my head. And so write it down, put it in a safe place. And so that you know that you've put it where you can access it, but it's not just all up there in your head. And then also divvying up the work and letting others help. So if you have kids, if you have a spouse, if you are going to an event or hosting an event, you know, see how you can help out or ask people to help you out. So if someone offers to help, if you're hosting, take them up on it. Do not say, oh, I'm good. Like, yeah, can you bring bread or can you bring dessert or, you know, whatever it is, ask for help, let other people help you so that it's not all just falling on your shoulders.
Yeah, that's so good. You mentioned before the break this new resource you've put together at MoneySavingMom.com that's available for our listeners to go get right now. For those that missed that, just recap what's available there.
Yes, so we put together, it's a brand new Christmas guide that has 15 different DIY Christmas gift ideas. Some of them are food items. Some of them are just homemade gifts. And it's really, we want to just help you simplify your holiday season. Come up with creative ideas for those people on your list that you're like, I don't know what to get them, but I want to do something for them. And also to save you some money this year. And so you can go to MoneySavingMom.com and right at the top, you'll see where you can download that Christmas guide for free. We are just here. We want to help to save you money and to help make your Christmas simpler and more meaningful.
Crystal, we always love having you stop by. You bring practical advice, but help us remember why we're doing what we're doing, which is critical this time of year during Christmas. So, Crystal, Merry Christmas. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's family financial expert Crystal Payne. If you haven't been to our website, moneysavingmom.com, you need to check it out today. All right. We're going to be back with your questions just around the corner. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this, and that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's always fun to have Crystal Payne, such practical wisdom that she has to share. We want you to make this a Christ-filled Christmas season. We want to help you do that simply and on budget as well. By the way, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, that could help as you put together that budget, maybe as you launch into 2024, give some consideration to putting that budget, that spending plan in place once and for all. You've thought about it, you've intended to do it, it just hasn't happened. Well, FaithFi app, we believe, and we're biased, but we believe is the very best money management system out there. And especially for those of you who have relied on Mint in the past, Mint.com, it's going away, as you probably know, at the end of the year. And so this might be a great time for you to get that spending plan set up, whether you want to use just our track only option, which is kind of hands off, whether you want to track and plan, which is where you put your budget in place and then just track against it to see how you're doing, or kind of the full blown envelope system, which is system number three, which is more hands-on, where the money actually electronically through the app is allocated to each of your envelopes as you set up your spending accounts, whether that's checking or savings or both. So at any time, you can see what's left in each of your envelopes, whether it's eating out or your gift envelope or, you know, whatever your categories are, and you can create custom envelopes and then fund them out of every paycheck. You won't go over budget, because the idea is with that real-time information, when that envelope is empty, you stop spending until it's refunded, which, by the way, can happen automatically. So check it out today. You'll find it in your App Store, Google Play, or Apple when you search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance, or just go to faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and click app. We'd love for you to check it out. Also, a brand new version coming in the new year with some new styling, new features, and our new studies. More to come on that in the days ahead. All right, we're ready to take your questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're wrestling with today in your financial life, living, giving, owing, or growing God's money. Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000. That's right. Phone lines are open right now, and you can get right through at 800-525-7000. Call right now. Let's begin today in Virginia. Hi, Greg. Go ahead, sir. Hey, Greg, are you there?
All Whitmore is looking at switching our financial advisor and how we take care of our retirement. And one of the things that the gentleman recommended was switching to something you've kind of mentioned before, like a money market or a online or savings accounts, just so you're getting the maximum amount of return. And he mentioned while he was doing that, that his company was looking at one that was around 5%, and that the company itself takes 0.25%, and then his income off of that would be 0.25%. So it would end up being around 4.5%. Is that a good decision for me, or should I just be looking for one myself and not paying somebody to simply open an account for me?
Yeah. So I think you're on to something there with the last part of that question. Here's the thing. I mean, I'm all for wise counsel. I love the idea of you having an advisor who's helping you manage your money. You don't need that, though, for the savings portion of your financial life. I mean, so we recommend 3 to 6 months expenses in a liquid FDIC-insured savings account or money market account, as long as it has FDIC insurance. You know, you're just basically looking for the very best rate. There's nobody that has to manage anything unless, you know, the bank you happen to be with is no longer the one that's providing the best rate and you wanted to make a change to another bank that you felt good about. But you can do that yourself. I don't think there's any reason to pay someone an ongoing percentage of the amount in there. Now, with an investment account, a lot of times as a money manager is managing a portfolio, there will be from time to time a portion in cash, and they'll typically use a money market. They may use a government money market as a sweep account. So, you know, anytime a stock or a mutual fund or an ETF is sold, it goes into the cash money market until it's redeployed. And often you're paying a fee on that total amount in the portfolio, which will include a cash portion, which will kind of go up and down as the money is being invested. I'm comfortable with that. But if it's truly the portion that you've earmarked for savings, again, there's no reason to pay anybody on that. I would just head to bankrate.com, find the online bank that you can link to your checking account that's going to, you know, probably one that's at least 4.5, if not 5-star rated, FDIC insurance, but is going to pay a really attractive interest rate. And, you know, there are some compelling rates out there right now for high yield savings. I mean, you'll find them as high as, you know, 5% right now, majority of them down around 4.6, but some that'll go 5, even a little bit higher. So is that helpful?
That is very helpful. I really appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right, Greg, appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open right now. The calls are coming in, so we'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today. We want to help you focus on God's wisdom for your financial life, recognizing your role as a steward of God's money and helping you make a wise decision based on biblical principles. Again, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. 7,000. Our team is standing by. All right, let's go to Ohio. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. I'm calling because I need some financial advice and financial wisdom on my current financial situation. Just to give you an idea, I am a subcontractor, self-employed, and I earn $25 an hour, and I bring in roughly $4,000 a month. I have a family of three. I'm the sole provider, and I have around $3,000, maybe a little bit more every month in fixed expenses between rent, utilities, car payment, groceries, gas, all of that good stuff. And at the end of the month, obviously, that I haven't paid any taxes. So yeah. I know I have the flexibility with deductions for gas and all these different things, but I've not been able to position myself in a good way to ensure that I'm able to pay the IRS at the end of the year. So,
yeah, that's a great question. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, Aaron. We come back, we'll talk about how you should think about that and what you need to be doing each month to make sure that the tax bill doesn't catch up with you each quarter. We'll be right back. Stick around.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go back to the phones. Before the break, we were talking to Aaron in Ohio. He's trying to manage his monthly expenses in light of the fact that he's an independent contractor. He's bringing home about $4,000 a month, working $25 an hour. And his fixed expenses, those things he gets a bill for that he knows about and is planning for every month, are about $3,000 out of that $4,000. He's just wanting to make sure that he's setting aside enough for taxes. And, you know, Aaron, I'll give you some ballparks here today, but really the best way to do this is for you, if you don't have one, to establish a relationship with a CPA for a couple of reasons. Number one, they can help you set up your books because you're going to want to have clear separation between your business and your business-related expenses and your personal finances. Because one of the keys to being a independent contractor is you've got the, you know, full weight of the self-employment tax, which is 15.3%, because you've got 12.4% for Social Security, 2.9% for Medicare. Normally, your employer, if you were a W-2 employee, would cover half of that. As an independent contractor, you've got the whole thing. But you can offset it, as you alluded to in our last segment, with business expenses. The key is being able to document and justify those business expenses before the IRS. And one of the keys to that is to have separation. So for instance, just as one example, you know, if you have one credit card and you're putting personal things on it and business things on it, it's hard to delineate between the two. You want to really have one set of books and credit card and, you know, for the business, and then pay yourself a salary or, you know, a distribution, perhaps if you have a company, or if you're just getting a, you know, a check cut to you directly and you don't have a corporation, you may want to look at that option. But certainly you just want to be able to justify those expenses before the IRS, because as a rule of thumb, you probably want to be setting aside 30% to cover that 15.3% plus the taxes. Now, you might say, well, you know, is that even enough? Well, the reason it often is because, as you pointed out, you know, you're getting $4,000, but you've got expenses against that. So hopefully that allows, you know, that 30%, maybe it's even a little less once you're done with your deductions, to cover everything. The challenge is, and by the way, you really need to be making quarterly estimated payments, because if you don't, you just wait and pay it at the end of the year. If you are, you know, year after year an independent contractor, the IRS could absolutely come in and charge you some penalties if you're not paying the estimated taxes, you know, on a quarterly basis, as opposed to when you file your return. But here's going to be the challenge is, you know, as you said, you've got 3,000 in bills you know about. That's not counting the perhaps the things that are non-recurring or, you know, just, you know, are more discretionary. And if you were to set aside, you know, 30% of the 4,000 a month, I mean, that drops you to 2,800 before you even get to those kind of extra things, which just means you're going to be underwater. And so, you know, it's probably a matter of doing two things. Number one is getting with your CPA and figuring out what are you actually going to owe after all the deductions are taken, figuring out what that percentage is. And then every month you just need to automatically transfer that percentage directly into a savings account so that every quarter you can write that check. And then we've got to build the budget on what's left. And you may need to trim expenses. You may need to try to work some more hours because, you know, we got to make the budget balance. I've thrown a lot at you there. Does that all make sense?
Yes, it does. It is very helpful and it gives me much to consider. So I appreciate that.
All right, Aaron. Hey, God bless you, bud. And we appreciate you calling today. Check in with us anytime. We've got one line open at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go back to Virginia. Hi, Diane. How can we help you?
Hi. I have two questions. The first one is about security. As I explained to your call previewer, that we've been retired for several years, and my husband gets a Social Security benefit that's like three times what I'm getting. So we did apply for spousal benefit where I took half of his Social Security and added it to mine. I guess that's how they do it. And my question now is, my husband's telling me that we need to go back to Social Security and ask them each year to do that spousal benefit where I get half of his new amount. Because we got the mailing about what we would get in 2024. And he says, now I need to ask for half of that new amount of his. And I'm thinking that they, you know, they adjust it every year accordingly.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to go back to them every year. That should automatically increase based on your husband's primary benefit. So, you know, that should be something that really just happens automatically. The big question is whether or not, you know, you have the ability to earn Social Security benefits on your own work record. Do you know if you have benefits that you're entitled to based on work you've done?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But
and
as
so
I
you
said,
can...
they're about a third of what my husband's is.
Okay, so that's a great, yeah, so you already understand that. So you can get one or the other, not both, and you get whichever is higher. And what you're saying is because you all waited till full retirement age, you're getting a full 50% of his. His is 50% of his is higher than yours because, you know, yours would only be a third of his. So that makes sense. So then the question is, you know, will that automatically increase as his is increasing? Yes, it will.
Okay, so we do not have to every year go back and say, hey, my husband's got a new amount now. I need half of that amount.
No, that should automatically be calculated for you.
I can't imagine the work that would be for individuals and for the IRS to have to process that.
Social Security, okay. Yeah, they're already underwater in terms of phone calls and customer service. That would be, I would add a mountain to that. Was there a second part of your question, Diane?
The second part of my question is we bought each one of us an I-bond when you were talking about them. I guess it was back in the fall of 2022. We each bought an I-bond.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering now with the interest rates changing as they are, is this a good time to take the penalty and get out and put it in something else or stay there?
Yeah, I think it probably is. You know, the rates when they were up at 9.6 were great, and then when they were in the high sixes, that was great. Now that they're down, you know, in the fours and probably, you know, going to continue to fall as the Fed fights inflation, there is more attractive places for that money. And you're right. If you're out, you know, getting out after a year but less than 5 years, you're going to take a small penalty equal to the prior 3 months worth of interest based on when you redeem it. So the moment you redeem it, less than 5 years, they'll say, okay, what was the interest that you should have been credited for the 3 months immediately prior to redemption? They'll keep that and then credit the balance. So I, you know, the I-bond money I was saying was for kind of that bucket of funds that was, that had a time horizon of 1 to 3 years. It had to at least be one, because you can't take it out in less than a year. And the reason I was saying less than 3 years is I was expecting those rates, the high rates would be temporary. And then secondly, you know, for anything over 3 years, getting to five plus, you know, you'd be better off with a long-term approach in the stock market. But with that 1 to 3 year money that you put into the I-bonds, you know, if you just look at what's going on with high yield savings or even CDs right now, a year at a time, you know, you can do better, and you will continue to do better as inflation falls, you know, in those type of products. So I would probably look to get out of those right now, Diane, to your question.
Okay. And you said the current rate on the I-bond is 4 something?
The current rate on I-bonds is, let's see, they all run together, 5.2. 5.27. And that's good through April of 2024. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. We'll be right back.
The Apostle John was concerned that those who professed to follow Jesus would model their faith by being devoted to truth, by loving others generously, and by living lives of integrity. This week on Truth for Life, Alistair Begg takes a closer look at some who succeeded and one who failed.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Don't be surprised if God has a different plan for your son than you expected. On the next Focus on the Family, Rhonda Stoppie describes how her son's diagnosis of epilepsy challenged her faith, yet she saw God using Brandon's experience to transform him into a worship pastor. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today here in our final segment, 800-525-7000. We may have room for one more before the end of the program, in addition to the ones already holding. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Erica. How can we help you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
So my question is regarding a home equity line of credit. So my husband and I are in Johnstown, Ohio. That's where Intel is coming. So we're kind of in a bubble. But we've been here since 2016, and our home has doubled in equity, if not more.
Yeah.
And he's changed jobs. We've had a few just financial hardships. But I was wondering, so we have three vehicles that are all paid off, but they're older, and yeah, they've all broken down.
Yeah.
And then our home is older. It needs some repairs, new windows, new doors. I work part-time as a nurse. My husband has a sales job. We make decent amounts, but we don't have the savings because of these financial hardships. So we've just been going back what to do. I don't know if car rates, home equity rates, are home equity rates worth it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. I can understand why, as your home increases in value, you're thinking, well, maybe that's a good source of funds. I would stay away from that. Number one, you know, you would be borrowing and securing this loan to your house instead of the car. So if something catastrophic happened, as bad as it is to have a car repossessed, I'd much prefer that than you losing your home. So I just would prefer you to leave that alone. Number two, probably is not even going to be advantageous from a interest rate standpoint. I mean, typically home equity lines of credit are prime plus. Prime right now is 8.5%. And then you've got the plus on top of it. Let's say it's prime plus a half, which would be a pretty attractive home equity line of credit. Now you're at 9%. Now, it's a variable rate, so as rates fall, it will come down. But I just still don't like putting this on the house. You can find, even for used cars right now, you know, interest rates in the sixes, if you all have good credit, could be 7% plus, but it's certainly going to be under 9%. If you have good credit right now. And, you know, as the new car inventories build, and they are, you're starting to see, you know, post-pandemic, post, you know, the supply chain constraints and chip shortages, you know, now that we're getting beyond that and the car market is stabilizing with, you know, better inventories on new car lots, which is also trickling down into the used car market, which is now down about 6% year over year. You know, there are special incentives out there. I don't know whether you're thinking of buying new or used, probably used, but if you were looking at new, there's even some things where you can get, you know, 2% interest rate. So I would say let's stay away from the house. Let's just go out and get a loan, the best loan you can. You know, when you borrow for the car, let's put down as much as you can. Let's delay that purchase as long as possible. Try to trim your budget and save so you've got a decent down payment, you know, and don't put yourself in a position where, you know, you're adding a $700 or $800 or $900 a month payment that you really can't afford. Does that all make sense, though?
Correct. No, it does. Yeah. Yeah, it's just been a bubble here. And yeah, mortgage lenders, even my own mortgage lender is like, well, you need to use your home equity. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, you know, perhaps I don't mean to imply he is, you know, just trying to make money. But every time you take out a new loan, there's also fees and all kinds of things on top of it. And there'd be a fee probably to your lender. So I'd stay away from that. I'd just look to get the very best rate you can. You could go to LendingTree, you could go to Bankrate, go to NerdWallet. I mean, when you're ready to find that car, just go out and get the very best, you know, term you can and rate. But let's just collateralize it by the car only, not the home.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks for your call, Erica. Yeah, Merry Christmas, and thanks for being on the program. Let's go to Oregon. Hi, Betty. How can I help you?
Morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is this. I have a gold IRA, and the maintenance fees to hold the physical gold in that IRA keeps going up. Is there another way that that can be held without to avoid those increasing maintenance fees? For holding the gold? I know you can't take it home because that's considered a distribution, but do you know of another venue that would allow me to have this IRA but not pay those exorbitant maintenance fees?
Yeah, it's a great question because they're not all created equal, Betty. And to your point, and for the benefit of our listening audience, you know, the challenge with the gold IRA is, you know, it's essentially a self-directed IRA. And so they're providing, in order to keep the tax benefits of the IRA, you've got to use this third party to hold the gold and maintain the IRA account, as opposed to just buying it yourself if you were doing it outside your IRA. You know, I think the best thing for you to do, Betty, is just just shop around. You know, the internet is going to be a really helpful. I mean, there's, you know, I just saw CBS News, for instance, just did an article recently recently on the very best gold IRA companies. And, you know, they came back at the time and said, you know, Gold Co. was the best. Now, whether that's the right one for you, I don't know. But, you know, they were, the fees were pretty low, I think $180 a year, and they were very highly rated in terms of customer service and just overall strength. You know, so I would just kind of get out there and begin to do some searches for those gold IRA custodians that are the most highly rated, pay careful attention to the fees. And then you can, you know, if you decided you could find one that was a better option for you, you can absolutely just do a transfer from one gold IRA custodian to the other. And that would, you know, not create a taxable event.
All right. I think I will do that. Thank you so much for your advice. And I want to wish you and your staff a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for being there. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Betty. That's very kind of you. Merry Christmas to you. And I'm delighted to do this each day and talk to wonderful folks just like you. So thanks for being on the program. Let's go quickly to Arkansas. Hi, Craig. How can I help you, sir?
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for your show. Quick question. I'm retired, have a wealth management supervisor, and I've questioned about the Fed now is having a central bank digital currency. I'm kind of wanting to keep my money accessible and not where it could be trapped in something I don't want. And they've been real good about if I investments I don't want to get into that aren't honoring God,
yes, sir,
away from them. But I'm kind of worried about it in the long term. Would you suggest a path to where if you don't agree with the government, you'll still have access to your money? If that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I certainly appreciate what you're saying, and clearly we have some headwinds. I have some plenty of issues with you know, decisions that are being made at the federal level with regard to our economy and otherwise. You know, the power of the Federal Reserve, which has, I think, gone way beyond what it was intended. You know, the amount of national debt we're racking up. Central bank digital currency is obviously being discussed. It's in more of a research phase, certainly not anywhere close to coming online. The only thing that happened earlier this year was the Federal Reserve went online with their FedNow payment system, which is not a CBDC, a central bank digital currency. It's basically just a payment platform for the banks to use that allows for now 24/7 instantaneous electronic payments. So, you know, transferring money electronically in the old system before FedNow, that basically didn't happen on the weekends. And this now allows that to happen instantaneously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's all that's happened. The central bank digital currency, I have real concerns about from a privacy standpoint, the potential for social controls. I mean, it's huge, you know, could result in big government overreach and control and visibility into our lives, which is why, you know, it's so hotly debated. And I, you know, would have to get through not only the president, but also Congress. With a divided Congress like we have right now, I can't imagine getting congressional leaders on board anytime soon, because so many of them have such concern over going this direction. And it can't be done by the Fed or the Treasury. I mean, it's clear that coinage in the Constitution is a congressional function. So, you know, it would take both houses of Congress and the president before this would ever come to pass. So I think we're a good ways away from that. It's also why we need to be thoughtful about how we're voting in terms of those who understand God's design for economics and wealth creation and the role of government. Given all of that, I love that you are an investor, because with inflation, that's the way you offset and overcome the loss of purchasing power due to inflation. I love that you're using, or your advisors selecting, those things that align with your values. I think you're doing all the right things here, Craig. I mean, I certainly wouldn't exit the stock market or the banking system because of the issues that I mentioned. So I think, you know, continue to invest in high quality investments, properly diversified in a God honoring way, which you can do through faith-based investments in a way that you wouldn't have been able to in even 3 or 4 years ago, because this space is just growing and maturing so quickly. So I think you're doing, you know, all the right things. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And I sure appreciate your program and what you do for the body of Christ.
Well, thank you, Craig. That means a lot, sir. Listen, Merry Christmas to you, and we appreciate you calling today. Scott, Luke, I'm so sorry we didn't get to your calls today. I'd love to get you on the program tomorrow, and perhaps Robert Scott can pick up your line and get you scheduled to be first tomorrow morning. Thanks for being patient with us, and apologize we didn't get to you. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Listen, if you'd like to support the work of Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, we could certainly use it. This month in particular, we're headed toward our year-end goal of $250,000. Learn more and give at faithfi.com and just click on give at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com and click give. Thanks to Devin, Robert, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. Lots of Roberts going on here. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.